Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Shoftim, Chapter 12. Today, we're going to read about one of the most awful and bloody wars. Civil wars, where Jew fights Jew and 42,000 lose their lives. Awful story. Let's read it. Vayitzaik ish Ephraim vayavar tzafona v'yomru li iftach, madu avarti lelachem b'vnei Amon v'lanu lo karata. You went to war against the Ammonites, say the tribe of Ephraim, and you didn't call us. Beitcha nisrof alecha ba'esh. We will burn your house with fire. If you recall, earlier on, Gideon faced a similar thing. The tribes of Ephraim came to him and said, "Why did you go to war without us?" And he managed to defuse the situation. Yiftach is not as wise. Yiftach answers them back and says, "What do you mean? I and my people were in a conflict with the Ammonites. I summoned you. You didn't save me. And when I saw there was no saviors, I risked my life. I advanced against Ammon. God delivered them into my hands. Why are you coming here to fight against me?" And Yiftach gathered all the men of Gilad and fought Ephraim. Vayikbotz Yiftach et kol anshei Gilad, vayilachem en Ephraim, vayiku anshei Gilad et Ephraim. And the people of Gilad fought to the Ephraimites because they said, "Plitei Ephraim atem Gilad, betoch Ephraim, betoch Menashe." It seems like what is resting here is that there is some ethnic tension between Ephraim and Menashe. I'd even say more than that. It sounds like the portion of the tribe of the half of Menashe, which is in the Transjordan, it is in the east bank of the Jordan. Lots of Ephraimites had moved over to that side. And they say to them, "Oh, you Ephraimites, what are you living in our territory?" And what usually has happened in the past in the story of Ehud and the story of Gideon is that the people of Gilad capture all the Ma'abrot HaYarden, the crossing points of the Yarden, and they have a little test. The test is that when Plitei Ephraim, when the people from Ephraim come to cross back to the west side of the Jordan, they say to them, "Ha'Ephratiata, are you from Ephraim?" And they say, "No, we're not," because they didn't want to get killed. And they say Shibolet. And in fact, they can't say their shin. And they say Sibolet. And they simply murder them. Wow. This is quite an awful story where you see and you feel the ethnic tension. But what we see here is that Yiftach, who should be the man of words, let's remember Yiftach, his name Yiftach, is the notion of opening your mouth to God. He is the one who was very pedantic in his language when he was defining his role to the elders of Menashe. He was perfect in his language when he approached the people of Ammon. He prays to God perfectly. He's a wonderful talker. It all starts going wrong from the moment he makes an open-ended vow. And what should he know how to do? His vow is, "V'haya ha'yotzei, asher yetzei midaltei beiti likrati, b'shuvi b'shalom, mibnei Ammon, v'haya l'Hashem, v'halitiu la'ola." The thing which comes out of my door when I come back in peace from fighting Ammon will be to God. I will offer it as a burnt offering. Of course, it's his daughter who comes out. And what does he say? "I opened my mouth. I cannot return." And his daughter agrees with him and says, "Yes, indeed. Whatever came out of your mouth," notice this emphasis on, can you return? Can you retract? We already mentioned last time that clearly Yiftach wasn't intending a human being. By the laws of vows in Israel, you can annul such a vow. You can get a petach like Yiftach. You can open up the vow because the statement didn't accord with your intentions. However, Yiftach, the man of words, does not know how to retract. He doesn't know how lashuv. And in this particular case, I think this goes back to his very beginnings. Let's remember, he comes the son of a prostitute and was thrown out of the community. And when they brought him back, he says to them, Madu abatem elai? Why did you come to me? Kasher tzalachem. Now it's tough for you. Why did you come to me? And he makes all these different conditions. Yiftach seems to be a person who lacks confidence. He has a chip on his shoulder. And Gideon had the confidence, the inner confidence, that when he was attacked by Ephraim, he turned around to him and said, you have the easy pickings. What do you mean? I set up the war. You've won the war. He was able to have the depth and breadth of character in order to diffuse the conflict. Here, when they turn round to Yiftach, maybe after the death of his daughter, who knows? And he's distraught. And this is a person who's been insulted in the past, and they come and accuse him and say, we'll burn your house down. Yiftach responds with ferocity. And how ironic that it is precisely the use of language, which is the tool by which he kills his own brethren, his own brothers. It is not surprising then that Chazal, when they talk about this, the rabbis say that Yiftach really could have managed to annul his vow and spare his daughter's life. However, Yiftach was too proud to go and speak to the high priest, and the high priest was too proud to go to Yiftach. And it is ego which is at the center of this story. I would argue even something else. It's not only ego. There seems to be, throughout the book of Shoftim, and we will see it later on in the book, as we get to chapter 17 and chapter 20 and 21, which focuses around vows. Everybody is making commitments with words, and they almost feel that their words are sacred. Their words are so binding that they give legitimacy to even kill, because if I've said something to God, I cannot retract it. Now, we know that that's not true in Judaism, and certainly not if a life is at cost. However, I would argue that this is an infiltration of pagan norms into Judaism, the emphasis on a vow, and that when I've made a promise, I cannot retract it. This is something which casts Yiftach, the man of words, in a terribly negative light. Notice that Yiftach is only a leader for 6 years. We've moved down from the Shoftim, whose influence was 40 years, to those who were 20 years, and now Yiftach, only 6 years. With Yiftach, and what we're going to start studying tomorrow and for the rest of the week, the story of Shimshon, we're going to enter into the arena of Shoftim, who are enormously problematic, who maybe offer in certain areas great promise, but whose actions are terrible and bring tremendous ruin on themselves and on the Jewish people. On that somber note, we'll see you tomorrow.